one of you here. Glad to see our brother Jim hobble in. Glad you're home. And we're able to rejoice in the Lord's blessing for you. Hope that you all have come here with anticipation of hearing the Lord's word this morning as he has put it upon the heart of our brother. And so I would give you now, ask for your attention for our brother Jose Galvan.
Thank you, Brother Adam. Good morning to all of you.
Morning.
Hope you are here ready to receive a couple of comments that God has put in my heart. And I will say that as I stand up here, It's a pleasure. I consider it's a pleasure and a chance to the God has given me to present you to His Word, and that we may continue in the path that we are knowing that is a great reward that is waiting for us and for all those who are strongly and stand fast on that and those promises that we heard and we read over and over in the Holy Scriptures. So I'd like to thank you for being here today. It's a beautiful day outside. It was a busy week for me. For whatever reason, God has blessed us with so much work. Knowing that this time is, it always slows down in my job, but for whatever reason, it's been busy. Last week, I put in 93 hours working and lost my side job. So I know that God sustains me and gives me the strength that I need. And even to stand up here with you guys and to that we may be able to hear and read again His Word and to learn about it, that is helping us to continue walking in that great faith. This morning, I talked to my brother Perico, Pedro, I should say. Perico is his nickname, and he lives in Nogales, as you know, and probably he's watching over the live streaming, so I'm glad that you said it's working, because I was a little worried. I sent him the live streaming website, so hopefully he's watching us. That brings me joy. I was just going to share a little bit of my youth when I was a child. That's what I'm going to begin my service today. When I was maybe 8 years old, or maybe 9 years old, I know that my parents, as many parents of you guys, want the best for your children. And perhaps my dad, he was a construction worker. He built houses. I worked with him so many times. And we, as I was growing up, and but I always complain about working in construction because it's not easy. It's always heavy and dirty, and you always get all covered with lime, cement, and all that stuff. And so I think he kind of get it. He kind of knew it that I was not happy what I was doing, and he decided to buy me cows. And cows, it's not my thing. I don't like cows. They require a lot of attention. They eat so much. They eat all day long. They never have an end. They're always eating. And you know, if you have fields where you can pester them, it's no big deal. But we didn't even have that, so I had to go search food for them, or kind of go into the country field and and just kind of watching, taking care of them as they eat all day long. And here I am, setting me, like I said, nine years old, with my hat, and sitting by the edge of the road, watching cars going by. And I always was wondering, kind of telling myself, talking to myself, whatever, where are all these cars going, and what is the end, or what part of this world? I was a child that I didn't get to see much about Mexico, but just the area where I live. And so it was like a dream that I had, a need of, not really maybe a need to know where all these cars were going and what's up there. And so I always have that. And maybe in those days, I didn't even have a TV. There was no TV in town. And I believe we were the first ones to have a TV in my little town. And so as you have a TV, you know, it's just another type of life. And there was only three or two channels that were working in that TV. And I started seeing things about America, United States. And so that was kind of becoming another dream that I was wishing or dreaming that someday maybe I will be in here or in some places, because I didn't even know, you know, I didn't even know America. And so we all had dreams, right? I mean, there's a lot of dreams out there. Did they come true? I don't know. Because maybe you have a special, specific dream, and maybe it will work it out if you put yourself into it and to make it come, you know, true. But it doesn't always work the same, the way you want it. And I was thinking about that, and I have had so many dreams that they have come true into now, into right now. And I'm very happy with that. So my sermon today is about a little bit about those dreams. And we're gonna begin with, because time is running and I have a lot to read. And just like Brother Joe said last week, I print 5 pages, but I only got 4. So, but it's a lot of reading. And so I hope by the time I finish, I hope that God has led us in our thoughts, and perhaps the point is made. We're going to begin in the book of Genesis. And I'm going to read out my notes, because I have them here already. That makes it easy for me, but I will like if you follow me in your Bibles. Because as you know, sometimes I do kind of say words maybe they have not much understanding. So if you follow me, please. We're going to begin in Genesis 37, chapter 37. And we're going to be there. We're going to read from 1 to 11 in chapter 37 as Joseph. Joseph's dream. You know, Joseph's dreams was something that maybe in that day, in that time, he didn't have an understanding. He was 17 when he had those dreams. And his brothers, they were not too happy about that. They kind of hate him for all those dreams that he had. But to Joseph, maybe didn't mean or didn't have understanding. But God was with him from the beginning. He didn't know. And like I said, we all have dreams, but we don't know if we are in charge of those dreams. And sometimes you do press forward to go to school and to make those dreams come true. That wasn't the same story for Joseph. That was not the same thing. He went through so many things to to end where he was. And we all know who he become. And so it's because those dreams, his brothers, they were not too happy about that. And it got worse. It got worse when his father Jacob made him a coat of many colors. You know, to me in my home, and in those days, as I was young, poor, we were 10. 10 in the family. How my dad did it, I don't know. I would have gone crazy. But my mom will make me, not make me, but she will patch my ribs on my pants or on my shirts with other type of cloth. That it was not even matching the color of my shirt or my pants. So my mom, one way or another, she will make and fix that rip in my clothes, but with other type of color. And so that makes me wondering, you know, in those days of Joseph, I don't know, fabric, it was pretty hard to get a hold of. So perhaps Jacob made these things out of all these cloth that he had laying around and make this coat of many colors for Joseph. And he made it with so much love because he, according to the scriptures, he was his second youngest of all of them, of the rest of the brothers. And for what happened, you know, as we know, the Rachel was, she cannot have babies, so, but God opened the womb of her. And that's why maybe he was special to Jacob. And I see this that he made this code with so much love, because perhaps that's all he had. But for Joseph, it was something that he really enjoyed and loved it. And so much that he showed it to his brothers, and that made it worse. His brothers hate him even more because that coat of many colors. And I don't know what's the story behind the coat. I don't know if that has a meaning or not, but that's the way I see it myself. We're going to start in verse 1, we're going to work it out today. And Joseph dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren in the land was with the sons of Bilhah, which is the concubines of Jacob, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hate him and could not speak peaceful unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told his brethren and they hate him yet the more. And he saying to them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I had dreamed. For behold, we were banding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisances to my sheaf." And his brethren say to him, "Should thou indeed reign over us, or should thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hate him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Joseph had no control over this. He was just sharing his dream to his brothers. But his brothers were assuming already that he was going to reign over them. And for that, they hate him. Him having no idea why they hate him when he was just sharing his dreams. Anybody shares your dreams. "I shared my dream with my wife, with my family," you know. But once again, he's the second of 11. I'm the second of 10. I run into those problems with my family, with My wife says, little Josecito. Who's going to listen to little Josecito? I am the youngest one. So, what, you know, in fact, one of my brothers lives here. He's the older, the second older brother, I believe. And we don't have a really good relationship. One time I was trying to talk to him about Christ, and he treated me pretty bad, really bad. when I was sick, he told me that he would not even give me his blood if I ever need it. So that kind of hurt me a little bit. But Joseph went through that. We all go through it. In this world that we live in, it's almost like you have to do your own or work for your own salvation. But that's not how it is. You know, Christ went through that too, even with his brothers. His brothers didn't follow him afterwards, perhaps, but when he was preaching his gospel around, they didn't listen to him. They were embarrassed of him because they're like, what are you doing? You're making us look bad here, right? So we all go through that. Okay, we'll continue on verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I had a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? So I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth. And his brethren invite him, but his father observes these sayings. His father knew what was going on. I'm sure he had more knowledge about what's going on, just like Samuel, when God talked to him in his dreams. And the priest that was with him, I forgot his name, he knew there was God talking to him, and he had more acknowledge than that. So Jacob here knew what was going on, and he kept these words with him. And I like this story because this, we get to have still the dream that we are fighting for through faith and promises, and with our Lord Jesus Christ will accomplish not just our dreams on earth, but our dreams to come. They say I went online and I kind of searched about how Joseph was, it's almost like this same life that Christ had. And they said that everything that Joseph went through, Christ went through. So he kind of represent everything that happened to our Lord and Savior. So if you continue on in the same chapter or the story of Joseph, as he was sold to the Ishmaelites going to Egypt, and then he became a slave to the Egyptians, to the house of Pharaoh, he would never thought. He was mistreated pretty bad. First of all, by his family, and then sold as a slave. But I can see that coming there. I can see that Joseph never sinned, even that he was put in the pit by his brothers. He was sold as a slave, and then he was thrown back in the pit because he was perceived to sin with Pharaoh's wife, and. So he went through all this, but he never committed sin. And so does Christ. So does Christ. He was tempted to sin by the devil, but he was strong. And that's how we should be. It's a pretty good example for us and to think about it and maybe to put it to work when temptations comes around you. Because there's no difference. We live in the same world. It's like the Bible knew the future. If it happened to them, it's repeating and repeating over and over. It's like a cycle. And so we are going through that. We all go through that. We all do that. So I'm going to read a few references. Actually, I'm not going to read it all because my time is going fast. So Jesus and Joseph were both born through miracles. Jesus through the Virgin, and Joseph through Rachel's, who she cannot have baby. She was barren. She was barren, and so it was a miracle that she had the two boys that she had with Jacob. The both described in the Bible very merciful men who received revelations from God. The Bible records no sin in the life of either Joseph or Jesus. Jesus and Joseph both went to Egypt when they were young. Both began their life of work at the age of 30. When Joseph was as a slave, and he went through all that with the temptation that the wife of Pharaoh was trying to make him to make sense with her, and he got put in jail and all that stuff. He was still underage. But when he really started doing the work as Christ there, it was still the same. So the course of the lives of Joseph and Jesus were changed by the power of dreams. Joseph became an interpreter of his own dreams and the dreams of others, which he used to save everyone's life, including his own. And it was also a dream with Jesus' early father, Joseph, like we remember that Joseph had a dream by God telling him, flee to Egypt for what is coming. And it's funny how it is. And like I said, we listen to God, everything works out for good. Of these two went to Egypt and they for safe, and they came out of there when it was the right time, when God called them out. And you see it in Hosea 11:1, he says, out of Egypt, I call my son. And I find it interesting that if we listen and do, I know that we do the best we can, but if we listen and follow the law of God, it's going to come for a good thing. And I like Stephen said in the book of Acts. It's a short story. He went through it, and he explained a little bit about what happened in those days. He was trying to give the people there in Israel a testimony about the things that happened before and how they come to an end. And I'm sorry, I forgot the word, but and it's going to be bugging me in my mind now. But let's go to Acts 7. We're going to go to Acts 7, and we're going to read there from verse 2 to 14. Acts 7. We're going to read from 2 to 14. And he said, this is Stephen talking when he was witnessing those things to those people about Christ. once he was already taken up to heaven. And he say, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our fathers Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Sharam, and saying to him, get thee out of this country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Sharam, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell, which is that's in Jerusalem. And he gave him no inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet the promise that he will give unto him for a possession unto his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. That was the promised land that God was talking to Abraham, that I will give thee. But he was like, how am I going to inherit this life to my seed when I don't have no children? But God promised him a child. You will have a children. You will have a child. You will inherit. And God is speaking to on this wise, that his seed shall sojourn in a strange land, and that they shall bring them into bondage and enter them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they will be in bondage will judge, says God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. After all that, we all know Joseph, how he brought his family into Egypt when there was no food around. Famine, thank you. When the famine. But we'll get to there. And he gave him a covenant circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him at the 8th day. And Isaac began to Jacob, and Jacob began the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and delivered him and all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him a governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dear over all the land in Egypt and Canaan, and great afflictions, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first, and at the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren. And Joseph's kindred was made known to Pharaoh. Then Joseph called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 70 souls. And because Stephen was talking the truth to these people, trying to make them understand, this is what happened, and this is what's going on now, and this is what you guys did. And so the people were so angry at him, because we all know that the truth hurts. And that's why the Bible says the word of the Lord is a sword of two edges. It cuts both. It's painful. The truth is painful. And so because they didn't want to hear the truth, we all know that they killed Stephen. And to that brings me to my other thought. When Christ was in front of Pontius Pilate, and he asked him, what is the truth? What is the truth? And God and Christ did not answer him. But he was the truth. This is the truth. The truth will make you free. The truth will make us free. We are no longer slaves of sin. Second Corinthians chapter 2:14. Chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, be triumphant in Christ and make manifest the Savior of his acknowledge by us in every place and everywhere we are. We represent Christ and we are triumphant. No matter what happened to you, Stephen gave up his life. All the apostles, all the disciples gave up their lives. They were killed for the same reason. That's why it says that when we are go down into the waters of baptisms, we represent the dead of Christ. We die in him, but as he came back to life, we will also be with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read 55 to 58. O dead, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Those words are bring us happiness and joy. We should feel joyful because we're not working in vain. That doesn't mean the ministry. It means all of us. We're all working for him. Once you accept him in your heart, we are working for him. We are no longer of this world, but we are his children. In Romans chapter 1, only one verse there, actually 1 and 2. It says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We are free. We are saved. That's a beautiful promise that we have right there. In Romans chapter 6, 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God, to Jesus Christ our Lord. We are alive in his name. We are alive in his promises. What this world does to us doesn't really matter. We should not partake of those things that will send you to different paths that will make you sin, because we all know that the wages of sin is death for eternity. That's not what you want. I don't know what I read, but it says, you know, perhaps in the holy city will be as this same world where we live in now, but with perfection, happiness. And I really hope that we all doing the right thing, and my hope is to see you there. Won't that be so beautiful? And so we are always get together and to hear the promises that we have in front of us. Brother Jim is here, and he just went through a really hard time. And I'm glad to see you here, but we are past the fire. And I really keep that old saying that my brother Andy said, when the robber meets the road. Did I say that right? That's when you faith, when you put your faith to work. We can see it, and it's a very good example in Sorry, my mustache. We're going to go to Acts 16, just to read a little bit about what our brother Paul went through. And we'll continue from there. Acts 16, verse 25. Verse 25 to 26. And it says, this is when Paul was thrown in jail all the things that he did. I cannot remember where he was here. But let's read on, and maybe I remember. We're going to read 25 and 26. And it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas pray and sing praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were loose. I choose this verse here because Paul, before they threw him in jail, he was beat. He was beat up. He was not thrown in jail, in a good condition. He was beat up. I believe it was 40 strikes. You get 40 strikes. That's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took for you and I. 40 strikes. By the time they finish with those strikes, you can hardly see his flesh, his skin. That's so much suffering. But even though he was in pain, we just read, he was praising the Lord. So in good times and in bad times, like my brother Jim just went through, we're still praising the Lord, and that's why he's still here. And he made it today here. We're always in pain. But we have someone who hears you, who listens to you, letting you know that you're not alone. So we're working on this dream that God promised, and that promise, I should say, and it's still a dream to Abraham. He promised a land, the promised land, the Canaan land. And as we know, Moses, when he sent his spies to see the land, a lot of them came back scary because the Canaanites were large people, bigger than them. And so that scared them, and they thought, well, we cannot conquer this land. We cannot beat these guys. They were thinking, they were relying on their flesh. To my understanding, they were relying on their flesh, but it says in Proverbs that don't lean on yourself, on your flesh. Don't depend on it, because it's going to fail you. We had to lean on God. We had to depend on him. We think about David. David was a shepherd, a skinny guy too, perhaps in his 17th. He was going to see his brothers, and he was so mad because all this army where his brothers were, part of it, they were scared to this giant. And so they were not thinking about coming to God in prayer and asking him for guidance. And we remember that David told the giant, I come in the name of the Lord. So here you are with all this metal cover you, but the Lord God gave the giant to David. Just like in the Nephi, how him and his brothers were chased by Laban, and they were scared about him too and his company, because they got kicked out of his house. But Nephi knew that they have to come to God in prayer, and God will give them Laman. And they were, and that's how it's the Nephi got the plates from him. Canaan was son of Ham, which is the son of Noah. And basically Canaan was become cursed about what happened in that day that Noah was laying in his tent, and Ham went there and saw the things that they were going on there. And instead of doing his part, he came and told his brothers. He told his brothers, and his brothers, they're the right thing. But to me, when we see a brother that is not doing the right thing and is lacking in the word of God, we're supposed to approach him and trying to bring him back. Instead of making all kinds of gossipers about, I see this guy doing this and I see this other one doing that. And instead of fixing the problem, they make it worse. So to me, right here, what happened with him, his son Canaan become now pleasing the Lord. And that's why the Lord used Jacob to kick them out. Because that is your promised land, but you had to work for it. So we all know that the land of Canaan is the promised land that he promised to Abraham, even from the beginning. You can read that in Genesis 12:7. And the Canaanites, they are described in the Bible that are so large people. But as we know too, when Joshua went to claim that land, they with Caleb, because Caleb, he said the opposite. They are large, yes, but with God, we can take this land. And that's how it happened. And we all know the story, because those who doubt God's promises, they were in the desert for 40 years. So not all of them got to see the promised land. Are we going to see the promised land? I sure hope so. Let's not doubt God's word and obey and listen to him. Because with God, everything is possible. From the beginning, God was with Joseph. And I'm going to read here a little bit of this commentary here. It says, everything in life is directed and controlled by a divine power. Let us live in constant recognition of this. You may be in a pit of darkness, misery, sadness, depression, worries, but know that you are there, but God knows that you are there and in that moment of need. Only continue to trust and do not be afraid. Blessed are they who believe. Joseph was in the pit twice, but he never doubted God. God was with him. He was learned by his father Jacob. He was a smart boy. In John 20:29, we read that Jesus told Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and they and yet have believed." That's a pretty good task right there for us. It's a lot of work to convince someone of these promises and the promises that are about to come. God worked in my life, worked in myself as I was going to the house of Brother Bob with Rebecca when she was starting to be baptized. And I was there with angry heart and angry face, perhaps. Brother Bob, I remember he had two big chairs facing the window, and him and Rebecca was sitting in the dining table, and I was keeping my back, looking at the window, because I didn't want to know anything. I don't know what's going on here. I mean, she's doing her thing. To think about it, from the beginning, I told you guys where I was in my youngest year. I was a child of dreams. Did I work it out myself to be here where I am right now in front of you? No. I never thought about preaching the gospel. Never. I'm here. It was not me. It was God. He kept me safe all this time. I got here to United States when I was 14. I was free to do whatever I want. My brothers, who were supposed to watch over me, they would encourage me to do the wrong things all the time. And perhaps I dare follow for some time. But I can say that God did not give up on me. And one of my dreams was to have children, and for that, and my dream, my wish was for them to do better than me. And so far, I can see that coming. I can see that happening. So our dreams are not neglected by God. He is aware of those things, and that's how we can see in the Bible that's how he talks to you, through dreams. There's so many proofs, so much proof. And even into now, there's been a lot of dreams in Mexico and Honduras. And if we follow, God will bless us. And I believe that my four page has come to the end. I'm going to read a little bit about what happened to Nephi, or I should say to Lehi. So if you can go on First Nephi real quick before I close, I know that the time has come. We're going to read in 1 Nephi from 3 to 12. For it came to pass in the commencement of the first year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, my father Lehi, having dwelt in Jerusalem in all the days, in that same year there come many prophets prophesying unto the people that the mass repent. They will be destroyed. Wherefore it came to pass that my father Lehi, as he went forth, prayed unto the Lord, yea, even with all his heart, in behalf of this of his people. And it came to pass that as he prayed unto the Lord, there came a pillar of fire and went up on the rock before him. And he saw and heard much, and because of the things which he saw and heard, he dared quake and tremble exceedingly. And it came to pass that he returned to his own house at Jerusalem, and he cast himself into his bed, being overcome with the spirit and the things which he had seen. He had a vision right there. He saw the things that were about to come. And he went as God told him. And being thus overcome with the spirit, he was carried away in a vision, even that he saw the heavens open, and he thought he saw God sitting upon his throne, surrounded with numberless conquerors of angels and the altitude, and singing and praising their God. And it came to pass that he saw one descending out in the midst of heaven, and he beheld that he luster was above that of the sun in noonday. And he also saw 12 others following him, and their brightness did exceed that of the stars in the firmament, and they came and down and went forth upon the face of the earth. And the first came and stood before my father and given to him a book and bade him to that he should read. And it came to pass that as he read, he was filled with the spirit of the Lord, and he read, saying, Woe unto Jerusalem, for I have seen these abominations. Yet, and many things dare my father read concerning Jerusalem, that it should be destroyed, and the inhabitants thereof, many shall perish by the sword, and many shall be carried away, captive into Babylonia. So this is a prophecy that God gave our forefathers, Lehi, in a dream. So as you can see, God talks to you in a dream. And that was around the Zedekiah's reign when he was king of Judah. And at the same time, Jeremiah was prophesying in those days. Lehi went through the same as he was trying to convert, or not to convert, but to prevent these people of the sinning life that they were living, that they need to repent or this will be destroyed. God told him that, but didn't listen. So it was destroyed. You read in Jeremiah, you read it in from chapter 32, 39, how everything happened and how the king of Babylon, who took over, and what happened to the city. He destroyed the whole city. But God also told Lehi to move away. And because he listened, he was safe in his family. But when Jeremiah prophesied to Zedekiah, he didn't listen. And he was destroyed. His kids were killed, murdered in front of him. And we all know that he was blind. And then after they took his eyes out, he was sent to jail and died there. Because he didn't listen. He didn't listen to Jeremiah. So God talks to us. But then, of course, from there, there's another story about the Amulek. Amulek, when that happened, when Zedekiah escaped and his sons, one of them escaped, and we all know, or we had the understanding that he was the first one to get here to the Americas, which are the Amulekites. That will be another service. My point is to listen to your dreams, live your dreams. And if you follow God's word, they will come true. Those are my comments for today, but I was going to have my brother Gary help me with something I wanted to do, but the time has come. I hope and pray that you guys, this message was a blessing to you today. God bless you.